What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Boys at 161st Street. Thanks for joining us today, as always. Before we get this rolling, we would really appreciate it if you guys could take 2 seconds and leave a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. All right, that's enough begging. This is another episode of Roll Call, a mini-series where we individually talk about each player on the Yankees. 15 minutes starts now. All right, welcome back to the Boys 161st Street Roll Call episode. 15 minutes starts the clock now. Another episode with Dan over here. This time,
what's up?
This time on the episode, we're going to be talking about the boy Lewis Lindenwood Voigt. Change his number to number 59. That's disgusting. I hate that
dude.
Number.
I know, and like, I know he's honoring his brother or something. Which one? Did his brother like pass away, or he just honoring his brother?
Oh, I didn't know that. Now I feel like it did.
No, I don't think he did. I was just wondering. But number 59, bro, couldn't agree more. That is a gross number.
The only thing
I
with
really
that,
hope his brother didn't pass away. Now, bro, yeah. You're gonna.
Me either. Well, I trash it all the time. Like, why did he switch to 59? But like, if his brother died, I get it. But like, if your brother's living, bro, just get a better number. 36. I always felt like Boyd should wear 36. He looks like a 36.
Yeah, 30. I mean, anything but 59. Honestly, yeah. That just looks like a line. I mean, the only thing that does fit him is that's like a middle linebacker number, and he looks like a middle linebacker. So,
I don't even watch football that much, but
you got a jersey on. What are you talking about?
I mean, do. I'm a casual Jets fan. I watch every single game. Not to get off topic, but
that was perfectly fine to be off. I mean, I get why you wouldn't watch much football because you're a Jets fan. So
it's weird. Like I watch every game, but like I don't take it with me. Like I do the Yankees. The Yankees lose, like I want to off myself. Jets lose, it's like whatever. You know?
Yeah, I'll get the stool out of my closet if the Yankees lose. I mean, I'm also an Eagles fan too. So I don't ask how that happened, but
hey, at least you won a championship a couple years ago.
Yeah. Back to Voigt. So
there you go.
So
I didn't even talk. I'm a fucking Giants fan.
So Voigt is one of those Cashman finds. Just we got him for like absolutely nothing. I don't know the details of the deal. If you guys do, go ahead. But he just seems like, I don't know. I mean, this is why I can't shit on Voigt too much, because we didn't expect much out of him. So anything he does is better than what you expect out of that. But now I think he's starting to come into his own in terms of like slated at the first base position. So now you can kind of shit on him. So the narrative kind of changed a little bit for him.
Yeah. Like my thing with Luke Voigt. So I obviously, there's no secret to anybody, I was in love with Greg Bird, because I went to a Greg Bird game. He had 2 home runs and I was like, wow, this is my hero. This is my first baseman for years to come. So I always would, when the Voigt trade went through, I didn't care at all. I liked Tyler Austin also better than Voigt. So I was like, oh, this Voigt guy is going to suck. And then the whole first season, like that 2018 season, he was a phenom. And I was like, wow, fuck me. I guess I'm wrong. Luke Voigt is a god. But I still was hanging on to the whole Greg Bird thing. Like I remember last year watching opening day in your house, Rella, and Luke Voigt hits a home run in the first inning. And I was like,
yeah,
like, I like Voigt, but I was like, shit. God damn it, I want
Dude,
this
I'm
to be
so
Greg Bird.
With you on all of this, bro.
And then Greg Bird hits one in the 9th inning, and I'm like,
so
let's go.
Yeah,
there's the first, there's my first baseman.
Fuck
so
yeah.
I feel like I've never really given like Voigt the real like fair go at like being our first baseman, because I've always wanted somebody else. But I will say I like Luke Voigt better than I like Mike Ford. And now I want Luke Voigt to be that guy. But like until Didi left, I wanted DJ to be our everyday first baseman. So like I'm kind of biased against Voigt. I never really give him the benefit of the
doubt. So Dan, you're also a Greg Bird guy? This is wild.
Oh, bro, I'm a big Greg Bird guy. I'm a big, and I feel like on the last episode, I think we may have brought it up at some point.
Yeah,
I'm
I think we
sure.
did.
But you know, as much as like I admit, I would definitely still want Greg Bird to be the starting first base for the Yankees. I love Greg Bird. I've been following
we're
his
sick bastards. We're right.
Yeah, I know. Dude, everybody's gonna stop listening now because like next can't take Greg Bird. But bro, Luke Voigt, and I hate to keep going with underrated. I'm gonna do it like all the time.
Go ahead.
That's another guy. At least offensively, I mean, his defense isn't great. His base running obviously isn't too great either. But I mean, offensively, and it works out pretty good that in his 2 years with the Yankees, it amounts to 157 games, a full season essentially. And in that 157 games, he hit .280 with an on base of .380, slugging over .500 with 31 home runs. And that's a full season. I mean, look at that. A first baseman that can hit 30 home runs gets on base at like .370, .380 clip. I mean, heck, if he can stay healthy and do that, Yeah. I'll take that. I think most Yankee fans will.
I mean, first base is such a scarce position across the league. So, I mean, if you remember last year, he almost ended up being the starter at first base. Carlos Santana got it. But, I mean, we were talking about him being almost a lock. That might have been Yankee bias. But, honestly, I'm going to flip the script on him a little bit because, like I have spoken on previous episodes, I call it the well, this is weird that it's another Luke, but this is the Luke confidence test. To be named later. We'll change it up, make it something else. But he's someone that doesn't pass the test for me. And just to abbreviated version of what the test is, I don't have confidence for him to get a hit when he's up at bat, regardless of what the stats look like. And that is weird because he's actually the perfect example for this test for me because his stats usually are like 290. Like, I don't know. It's just something about him. Maybe it's the low sample size. Go ahead.
So, if you recall from basically when Judge got hurt in the beginning of last year through before Voit got hurt or whatever happened, like April through June, let's say.
Before the London series, because he got hurt in the London series.
That's okay, yeah. He was batting second for basically the entire time Judge was out. Yep. One, that just shows how much the Yankees believe in him because we kind of know, especially with Judge always occupying the number two hole, that's essentially where you believe your best hitter would go, the number two spot. And in that time, I mean, I remember April through June, like he carried us. There were other guys, of course, doing it too with the whole next man up thing. But I mean, Luke Voit, he was a big part of the Yankees' like early season success.
He was hooping.
He was the backbone of the next man up for sure. And I hate to be that guy to still. I can't just override it and say he passes the Luke test because it's just something in my mind.
Respect, not front. Yeah, but I think one big thing, and this pisses me off with Voit, is that I can't have too much confidence in a guy that takes strike three calls down the middle, like to the point.
Oh my God. It's like, that's my big job. It's his fucking job.
I think that's so bad. I think
that's right down the middle.
And it's always like, he backs off. Remember?
He does that thing where he goes, and it's
fine. Remember? I remember talking
almost outside and he'll do
it. And it's right down the middle.
I remember talking to you about it. I remember saying it like in your apartment last year, watching the game. Wait, stop doing the fuck. It's not inside. It's down the middle.
He does that little butt scoot every time.
I don't have any problem with strikeouts, like for the most part, at least. Like if guys get on base at a clip of 380 like Voit does, I usually have no problem with strikeouts. But I mean, like when they just strike three calls, like blatantly obvious strikes right down the middle, it's so frustrating.
I agree. And I think we're like all in kind of the same realm with Voit. Like numbers say, and from what we've watched, we should like him. And like, I do like him.
I believe him. I get the vibe. Yeah. I like him the most out of all of us.
I think so too.
I have some issues with him. I mean, defensively, he has to improve. I mean, if you look back at last year, opening day, for example, Voit was the DH. Bird played first because Bird was a better first baseman. Voit's not that good at first base, but I mean, that's something he can improve. And apparently he's feeling, you know, in the best shape of his life. I know everybody says that. Yeah,
everybody says that.
I just find myself always trying to figure out, like, whenever somebody asks our best lineup, like I always try to figure out it's messed up, but I always figure out a way where somehow he's not included. Like last year, if you would have asked me,
that says everything about it for
Ford.
You.
Do you want to put Ford at first? I mean, he is lefty.
No, I don't even like Ford. I want an Andujar. I want an Andujar first.
Andujar, yeah. You know, I had Andujar like in my projected, like what in Dan's ideal world going into the season, I had Andujar on the bench or possibly starting in AAA, but I'm crazy with Andujar. Like people have gotten on me in the past. I think I hate him. I don't at all. I just point out like a decent amount of flaws in his game. But bro, spring training, seeing Miguel Andujar, not to get off topic, he looked good. Like he was crushing the ball in spring training. In left field, he looked really good. Like he didn't make any crazy plays, but I mean, he was looking smooth. But yeah, not to get off topic, but
Sure. This is a huge Andujar podcast. That's what I was about to tell you.
That's basically what I'm saying. Because he got some time at first base. If they found a way to get that in with
exactly with playing, that's what I want.
I'd be open to that. I'd be open.
He looked like shit at first base.
My thing, I don't want to see him anywhere near third base. Like, I do not want to see him.
Especially when we have Gio. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. Hell no.
Yeah.
Originally, I wanted him to DH and bat ninth, but
no, which is fair. But like, and now it makes the most sense with Andujar at DH. And if Stanton and Judge are healthy, then it's Andujar DH. And I get that. And like Voit belongs there, but I just always find myself figuring out ways where.
So it's an interesting question that you bring up. And like, there's obviously a lot of movable parts and nobody seems to be really like slated at their position except for the DJs and Glabers. There seems to be another like position battle in nearly almost every position other than catcher, obviously too. So with the first base position and Voit in mind, what do you guys think? Is he like slated in that position? Like how close is Ford to taking his job? How safe is the job, I should say? Like, where is Ford? How much percentage would you give a chance of him to be the starter?
To put it like this, I think Greg Bird had more of a shot of winning the first base job than Mike Ford did this year. Agree. Just in terms of, I think Boyd has it kind of locked down, to be honest. I mean, the only thing going for Ford, in my opinion, like towards his, you know, candidacy for being the first baseman, he's lefty. And in that plays, I mean, that's important, especially with what we said in the Hicks episode. Our lineup is so right-handed heavy to the point of absurdity where that could get Ford a decent amount of at-bats just for the fact that he is left-handed. But, I mean, if it's up to me, you know, if I'm the manager of the New York Yankees and in the front office, I put Luke Voigt my first baseman.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say he's like 95% in. But what is going for Ford, too, it's like he's going to make the roster. They like Ford a lot.
Yeah.
I've seen it, and I've kind of been like, a lot of people like Ford a lot, but I feel like it's questionable. Like, I feel like there are better, like, I like Clint Frazier better than Ford, but like, I guess for what he brings and like,
we Ford's need a lefty. Also a lot less annoying than Clint Frazier. But that's also true. At least in my opinion. But also remember too, I mean, just to show how good Ford is, we were having conversations. I don't think he made the postseason roster, but we were having conversations last year about, like, you know, Mike Ford, he might be on the postseason roster. That's how good he was, you know, for like what?
Everybody had that like 2 week stretch. Like, it was like, that was our next man up thing, but like there was a Talkman point, there was a Luke Voigt point, and Ford was one of those guys that had a point too. And like Clint Frazier's only lasted like 2 days, so like that's why.
I feel like Aaron Hicks coming back actually clogs things up a lot. Now, obviously not in like a bad way. Like, I love Aaron Hicks, but it kind of makes the DH permanently stand. Whereas before, with Hicks out, what you could have done is Gardner in center, Stanton in left, and then in right field, obviously Judge. DH, you can leave that as a revolving door to get Mike Ford at-bats, Miguel and Duhar at-bats, you know, and Stanton can still DH as well. But, I mean, with Hicks coming back now, I feel like it kind of slims out Mike Ford's chance a little bit to get more at-bats, which might be a hot.
So you think that it means Gardner in center, Hicks in left,
well, Stanton, now what DH? I think it means is
– Hicks in center.
Yeah. Gardner in left, Stanton at DH, which Stanton, I feel like, is just going to be the permanent DH now, which I'm all for that as well, you know, injury-wise, you know, to try to keep him healthy. But with that, I feel like whereas the DH could have been a revolving door for Mike Ford or like a Miguel and Duhar to get at-bats, now it's kind of permanently stands, at least once Hicks.
You're right. That's true. I didn't really think about it like that because I always see it as like the way that I think the Yankees have been for the last few years is like, this job is tailored to be taken away from Brett Gardner, and it's just nobody can do it.
No, like, they've been telling people to take Brett Gardner's job for the longest time, and he just
he's like,
until somebody tells
me
to leave, I'm gonna stay here.
Yeah,
I mean, there's Mike Talkman too. I mean, I want to see Mike Talkman get a lot of at bats.
All right, Luke Voigt,
Brett Gardner, I'm cool with that.
Luke Voigt, we're talking about Luke Voigt here. So back to the question of Luke Voigt, you guys seem like he is safe for this year at least. So what are your thoughts? On him, do you think he's the long-term solution at first base? That's a different question.
I feel like he'll be the Yankees' first baseman throughout the rest of his throughout the rest of his control. I don't know how long he's under control.
He's under control like
3 years.
He's under control until 2024, and he's making
through 2024.
Through 2024. He has arbitration number 4 in 2024.
Oh, wow. So he's under control for another 4 years. I mean,
500K.
Yeah, he can stay healthy. I mean, because all we've seen as Luke Voigt as a Yankee, all we've seen is production when he's healthy, besides like a little 2-3 weeks slump towards the end of the year. So, I mean, if he can just stay healthy and put up those kind of numbers, maybe improve his defense a little bit, unless we maybe pull a trade for like a blockbuster first baseman or sign a blockbuster first baseman. You know,
that's what I want. I'm so selfish.
That could happen. Like, if there's like, is there like a left-handed, like really good hitting? For, like, maybe we got Cody. Maybe we sign Cody Bell.
Freeman?
Whatever. Or trade. Yeah. Something like that. Something like that happens. Besides that, I think Voigt, I figure, you know, he probably would be. We don't have any big-time first base prospects or anything. So
I mean, first base.
Only thing that could happen is Mike Ford goes bananas.
Or Mike Ford,
Yeah.
And that's one thing I was going to mention, too, about like Voigt's job security. Is that say he has a tough first month and Mike Ford's raking real quick, we could see things change.
Yeah.
If Ford ends up putting up the numbers that he had been in the minor leagues that we've been seeing, people are saying he's like the next Babe Ruth, even though this is a non-supporting Babe Ruth podcast. That's a different story. But Babe Ruth sucked, long story short. So anyway.
I'll have to get the backstory of this conversation at some point.
Yeah. Anyway. He put up a number like batting like 500 in minors. So if he ends up putting shit up like that, then I don't see Voigt having any spot on
no
his team.
Shit.
Right? He's obviously not going to do that.
400 or 500.
Obviously not going to do that. But
another factor that comes into play is, you know, we're probably not going to. I mean, at least I think baseball's coming back this year. We're probably not going to be playing in Yankee Stadium. I think it's going to be like, you know, in Arizona, like neutral sites or whatever.
Very true. So the left-hand forward.
Exactly. I mean, Mike Ford, whereas you see a left-handed bat that could, you know, take advantage of the short porch and right, now he doesn't have it anymore playing out in Arizona. So that's another fact.
That is really interesting. Good thinking. I didn't even think about
that. Good thinking. Yeah. Wow. That's why we bring you around.
I appreciate it, bro. Anytime.
So the last thing I want to talk about with him is, obviously, I get how you guys feel about him for this year, but he did have the sports hernia, and I think that is obviously the reason why he ended up not doing as well down the stretch, because he was playing through it, which is a testament to him. He's as tough as they come. So that, to me, I think obviously if that healed well, he's had all the time in the world. The whole Yankees team should be healthy. Like, if anybody is still hurt after this, I know, and you'd think, but if anyone's hurt after this, there's an issue. Like, I don't understand what's going on.
Oh, if that, then there's an issue?
I'm just saying.
Already
this shouldn't carry over. It shouldn't carry over to this year. And hopefully it doesn't. But that's just all I wanted to say. I want to make sure that's all good there, because sports hernia obviously affected him at the end of last year. Otherwise,
can I just say something real quick about that sports hernia? I read an article, I think it was a New York Post, Joel Sherman, going into the detail about Luke Voit's injury. And the doctor literally told Voit that he tore his insides apart, essentially. The doctor's like, what did you do? That's how like severe that injury was. And I feel like people don't, you know, take that into account.
Do we know when that happened?
Say it was a London series?
Pretty sure it was a London series.
Yeah, I know.
He hit a double, and then he gets up. He was rounding first and like limped in the second.
Yeah, because I remember like April through June, he was money. I mean, he was really, really good. So I think, at some point, you know, towards the end of June, July, whenever that, when was that London series? Like end of June, I think?
Maybe early July.
So probably around then.
Anyway, to wrap up this episode, because we got the NFL draft we want to watch right now. But so a lot of people, I don't know if this is the consensus, but I've been hearing that people say like, oh, Luke Voit is the biggest player on the team. And I don't know if that's just Judge trying to like deflect and be the Mr. Humble that he is. But I mean, that's just simply not true. Like he's just... He's a big dude. So that's my question. So if you had to choose two people to back you up in your corner in a brawl, who are you picking?
Judge and Chapman. Done.
Chapman Absolutely. Is enormous, and people don't get that.
Chapman?
I feel like I'm taking Chapman and Stanton. I feel like he's more aggressive than Judge.
That's true. And that was the reason I picked Chapman, because I feel like, not saying this for any reason, but like I feel like he has like that killer instinct in him, you know? Judge, that's true. Honestly, I just want to, like, if I'm, you know, picking two people, I'd want to meet Judge, so that's why I'd pick him.
But. Yeah, me too.
No, but I would still pick Judge, because he's like, don't poke the bear sort of thing. He'll be nice to you, but if you piss him off, like, you saw him in the brawl again in the Tyler Austin thing. He was tossing people out of the way.
That iconic picture of him with, like, a guy in a headlock.
Yeah, that was crazy. But honestly, I don't think that was the point of the question. I don't think he really comes close to being picked there. I mean, he's a big dude. Man, don't get me wrong.
Fourth.
I mean, if you're just going based off height, definitely not. But I mean, he's stocky as hell.
Like, he is. He's ock.
So what's the consensus on that
team?
Is he what?
Does he bench the most on the team? Do we know?
I think he does.
With one arm,
he does.
With one arm, he does.
That's the point on Voit's side. I mean, that's pretty important. You know he's strong. So.
Definitely the only one we've seen bench with one arm. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I don't think I'm picking him anywhere in the top five or six, because I'd take people like Canely before him. The guy's a nutbag, so.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, in a fight, it's not about who's the strongest, it's about who's, like, the most crazy.
Yeah, so,
like,
exactly. That's why Canely might be number one.
True.
Anyway, that got very off topic, so I think we'll end the episode there. Honestly, mixed reviews on Voit for this episode, so tune in next time.
I mean, I'm sure he'll prove it. Like, I'll continue to doubt him, and he'll continue to prove me wrong, so.
It's until running. Greg Bird comes back to the Yankees.
Yeah, we're all waiting for that day.
We're all waiting to fly the bird. I don't know why I even said that. I hate Bird. So tune in next time. See you guys later. No point in keeping score. You like to drink and to smoke, to take away the pain. And I don't remember all of my mistakes. And every eye got alone. No one thing. You're not alright, I'm not alright. Let's roll.
You and I don't belong in a place like this, baby, let's roll. We don't need to believe everything they think when it's all so. Headed down that road and you don't gotta go down solo. No, don't let me go. Got no patience, conversation driving you up the wall. I'm imperfect, you're a goddess, no sarcasm at all. You say you're sorry, but don't know what you're sorry for. No, no point in keeping a score. You like to drink and to smoke to take away the pain. And I don't remember all of my mistakes and every high.